Okay, on behalf of the Board of Deer Springs Ranch, we'd like to call this meeting to order, and I'll go ahead and give an opening prayer, and we'll get started. I have a prayer here. I'll just say it. Let's say it. Dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this beautiful day. We're grateful for the freedoms we enjoy and for properties that we enjoy here at Deer Springs Ranch. We ask you to bless us for the night and inspire us to how we might be better caretakers and how we might fulfill our obligations and duties. And these things we pray for in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. The first thing on our agenda will be to approve the minutes for June. And all those in favor, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes. Okay, I'll make a motion.
Phil.
Yeah.
We had some corrections on the minutes.
You have some corrections? Okay, we're listening.
Okay, bear with me while I find the file. I've got a couple of them up here right now. Hold on just a second.
We'll have a further discussion on the minutes. I mean, Jody's getting her note right now.
In the meantime, can I find out who all is there?
Going to do the roll call.
Sure. While you're getting your minutes, we'll do our roll call. So, where's Candy? Oh, right there. I couldn't see. Okay, Candy. She's taking the minutes, and so you know us up front here. Do you know everybody back there?
I'm sorry. Nancy, Kathy, Jeffrey, what's the name over there? And Larry Nelson.
Okay.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right.
We need a roll call on the phone.
We just did the roll call
on the phone.
On the phone?
Hey, Dan's great. Yes. Via teleconference.
Members that are here.
Yes, sir.
Leland Gentry.
Jeff
Bovay.
Jeff Nicholson.
Bill Hall.
And the alderman, he wants to know who is on the phone.
Robert Musto.
Robert Musto on the phone.
Robert Musto.
And Jody.
And Jody Akers.
Candy. Robert Musto, Jody Akers.
Here.
And? Anybody else?
Just me, Vance.
And back screen.
Beautiful. All right, are we good to go?
I'm ready. I'm ready, Phil.
Go ahead.
Okay, number five, on the paragraph that starts with Jody Akers had asked Ben Clarkson, I would just like that reworded. Jody Akers had asked Ben Clarkson, in parentheses, while serving on the board and over fencing, if the fences discussed in the hunt contract were completed and Ben stated that they were done. And I have this typed up, Candy. I can email this to you as well, but.
Never email it. I couldn't read.
Wait. Okay, yeah, it's too garbled, so we'll have you email it to Candy.
Okay. Do you want me to go on with the other ones, or can you not hear me okay?
Now, you were number five. What is item five?
Yes, item number five on the fencing.
Hang on a second. I can.
four. Five of them, this copy says web development and communications.
That's the agenda. She means the minutes.
No, so I'm looking at the minutes.
She's in the follow-up assignments.
You talking about the follow-up assignments? Jody?
No. Let me look here. Hold on. Call to order, follow-up assignments. Yes, it's in a follow-up assignment. Thank you.
Okay. So in follow-up assignments, you would like it to say...
Well, on number five, it states that I asked Ben Clarkson about the fence line at Johnny Brown, and he stated that it had been fixed. I did not ask him specifically about Johnny Brown. I asked him about the fence project in general, in whole, if that had been completed per our contract with Hunt's, and he did with Hunt's contract, and he said it had been completed. So I wanted to make that clarification, then I can, you know, I'll email this to Candy so she can just write that up. I didn't want there to be confusion about what I actually asked then.
Okay, I got it.
Okay.
Got it.
And then just a note, we asked Doug Hunt while he was here if it was indeed done, and he said that it was not. Is that right?
No, that wasn't Doug. That was Brad.
Brad. Okay.
So I think that's something that Leland and Ben Clarkson and Doug and Brad need to discuss.
Okay, well, let's discuss that later on. We have a couple of bids to fix that fence.
Right. I just wanted to... Next one is number eight, right following in the same assignments.
The one that starts the Wranglers program?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, where it says our premium is $67,000 per year, make that $6,700.
Okay.
Okay, and in that same number eight at the bottom, where Phil Hall made a motion, as it currently states, Phil Hall made a motion to have horseback rides, but stated that there needs to be further investigation for an insurance company to cover DSROA. Leland Gentry seconded it. What happened, what was said was Phil Hall asked how many of us would like to have horseback riding at the ranch. He did not ask if we actually agreed to it, because I said, you know, I would love to have it, but I'm not going to vote on it due to the insurance. So I think we need to reword that as it was asked how many of us would like to have it.
Well, we wanted to know how many would like to have it, but we wanted to work towards having it. So
right, but I did not vote at that time to I did not agree that I would have it. I would agree that I would like to have it, but they're two different totally scenarios. Does that make sense?
Yeah, we said we would like to have it. Well,
how many
rides subject to need to for further investigation of the insurance. So in other words, we approved having horse rides subject to getting all our ducks in a row, like with the insurance. We made a motion. It wasn't just a statement saying,
it was a question that you asked of how many of us would like to have horse rides. We weren't voting on having horse rides at that time.
But hang on, we'll see what the rest say.
That's true.
Is that true?
Yeah.
It just needs to be reworded.
Okay, then we'll reword that. Everybody agrees with you, Jody, so we'll rework it to say how many would like. We'll put the word like in there.
Yeah, so there's no misconfusion about that later. Okay.
Okay.
And then we move on. number three on the ranch report.
Okay. We're with you.
Okay, we just need to add on. Well, this is going to have discussion later, too. This is, Bear Springs will require 2 days to dig out both sides for drainage to Red Reservoir. The dam or berm will be opened up to have water flowing back again to the ponds 1, 2, and 3 as discussed last April 2015 by the board. I need to have added on that. I wrote this up. She'll have it. Joe and Jody both stated that during a previous water committee inspection of Bear Springs, it had been determined to let the drainage go back to how it was originally to save the cost and time that it would cost us annually to do that. So further review is needed.
Let's see. Do you guys all understand that?
Yeah.
Okay, we all, that's fine. Make that, get that to Candy.
Because the work's already been done, right?
Oh, it's already been done.
I think it costs a couple $1,000 to have that built. I personally didn't want to tear the whole thing out. What I did is open it up so water could go, but if we were to go to where it originally went, but if we were to go back, I didn't want to have to pay another $2,000 or $3,000 to build that thing back up. So I just opened it up, and if we decide to move water back into Red Reservoir, it'd take a half hour on a backhoe.
Okay. All right.
So we'll have more discussion on that later. Okay, on number four, the financial report.
Yes. Yeah.
I can't read exactly what it said, so I put a note over it, but the $61,000 in the checking account, 83% of assessments have been received. I think it just says 83% right now. We don't know what that means, but 83% of assessments have been received.
Okay.
Okay. And yeah. The next one, number six, at the bottom, where Jody Akers made a motion to release the to increase the liability insurance from $300 to $900 for Deer Springs Ranch. That should read to increase the board's liability protection from an embedded policy, which is currently $300 per year, to a standalone policy, which would be approximately $500 per year.
And you'll send that into the camp?
Yes, I will. Yes.
All right. Everybody agree with that? That's the way I remember it, too, yeah. Okay.
That's all I got.
That's it?
Thank you. That's it. I'll send that to Candy.
Thank you, Candy. Jody. All right, then we will postpone voting on, we'll re-read these next month and approve them at that time. All right. Where are those follow-up? At the follow-up assignments at the end of the notes, a minutes. So we'll just go down. And number one, Joe Bose, Committee for Backhoe Usage Policy.
I talked to Leland and Brent, John Harris, and I can't give copies, but I can email it when I get home to all the board members. But you want me to go ahead and read it to you?
Sure.
We got for backhoe coverage for a rental policy. This is the first draft we got. Backhoe rental, there will be $150 a day rental charge with a $500 deposit, refundable if there is no damage to the backhoe. All damage done to the equipment is solely responsibility of the renter, unless the ranch is buying the driver. That's fine.
One quick question. We're talking about the backhoe, but do we have the same kind of policy for the trader?
Not to my knowledge, no. It could be very similar.
Wouldn't it be very similar to this, and could we not even include it?
Yeah.
Or would the amount be?
You can list it as equipment instead of backhoe.
Yeah. Why don't we do that, heavy equipment?
Okay. Yeah, let's include it that way.
Well, we've got some This is the last draft. We can change the same thing. Number two item, we have a 3-day notice to be given to the ranch for tobacco use and a 3-day limit of using the backhoe. In case of a ranch emergency, the ranch will pick up the backhoe and return it back to the people when their job is completed so they can use the backhoe, you know, for their finish their job. At no time should the backhoe leave Deer Springs Ranch property. It stays on the ranch, doesn't go anywhere else. The backhoe must be looped daily, checked for water and oil levels. When it is returned, it must be cleaned and full of fuel. Anyone living in the backhoe must be approved by the board and the ranch manager. The ranch supplies an operator. There's a $25 an hour charge for that person, whether it's Paul or whether it's Brent or whether it's Leland.
Question.
Personnel will be named at a later date. We've got about 6 people that are so far authorized, but we haven't listed them yet.
Say we have our list and somebody else approaches us. And somehow they're known by the ranch manager, and somehow they're known by a person in charge of the equipment. Do we need the whole rest of the board to vote on that person?
That'd be up to the decision we can make. I wouldn't think so. So we got Leland so far, and we got Brent, we got Paul, we have Larry Meltzer.
Okay.
Cass Harden, those are all good people. I mean, if they stand by the man and say, hey, this guy works for me, he's good, then I think we could let him go off and watch him for 10 minutes, not say anything, and we're done.
So should we have a little clause saying that, you know, there will be this list, or upon approval by at least the ranch manager and one other...
We could do that. We could change that.
One other member of this committee? Okay.
Accordingly.
Okay, let's do that.
Question?
Let's see, Lynn has a question.
No, all good.
Oh, Paul.
My question is, you know, there's talk about insurance. I can't just let anybody drive the ranch truck. I can't let anybody just take the four-wheeler.
Do we have insurance policies that are specific to each piece of equipment? I mean, there's ranch liability, but I mean a specific policy to the backhoe, one specifically to the grader.
I have an answer to that.
Hey, Jody has an answer. Good.
I did talk to the insurance guy about when we got the backhoe. He said, no, it's covered. The backhoe itself is covered under our general liability policy. If someone that's not an employee is using it, they would be covered under general liability, but again, if they were injured. If Paul or Nancy or an employee were using it and they were injured, then workman's comp would cover that. So it doesn't matter which piece of equipment they're on. They're all covered. You know, they're not covered if someone steals them, but they're covered under general liability. So it doesn't matter which piece of equipment we're talking about.
Very good. That answers my question. Thanks. Okay, any other discussion? I think that was a great first draft there, Jill. Why don't you finalize it? You could finalize it or with the provisions that we just made. Can we approve what Joe's done to this point? We're only talking about
small changes.
Those two small changes, right? Rather than let this hang out there another whole month.
Well, I got listed here for a $500 deposit. Leland thought it should be $200. I don't know if we should change that or not. If something's damaged, then it could easily $500. I think I'll leave it at $500.
And how do we take that deposit? We take it with a credit card number?
We have to decide. If it's a check, I mean, they could stop payment on a check, and they could also stop payment on a credit card, so I don't know. At their mercy.
They can't do it on a debit card. A debit card?
And it really wouldn't matter. Either way, we could still collect via a court process if we had to, because you can stop payment on a certified check if you wanted to. And I would recommend the $500 because we are dealing with a really expensive piece of machinery here.
We can hold the check or we keep the credit card number. I mean, it's not coming out of their pocket that.
Agreed. We should.
Okay. John?
I do have a question now. This has been rented to strictly membership. Coffee on the Deer Stream grants. It can't go off after you said that.
Yes.
That's strictly the membership. Because basically I'm not for renting it. But I did discuss with Joe and Brent about this, and I will go along with it because I think they did the best they could on this. You know, it's not a new piece of equipment, and I'm not for wearing it out.
So I can't remember, Joe. There's the same thing as I know it said it can't be taken off. Does it say just for members only?
It doesn't say just for members. I just wrote that down.
Okay, let's
include that. I want to go over here and rent it to our neighbor over here, for instance, even with Paul.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
All right.
Everybody, give your advice. Only in an emergency, well, I don't know. What's
in? The county kind of knows we have equipment here. The CLN knows we have equipment here. I know they have better resources than we do, but I don't want to put a stipulation out there.
I think that's what we're saying. We want to do that. Why? What kind of...
I'm just, an emergency. If there's...
there's a life and death situation where somebody's pinned under a vehicle, I think we understand that. John?
The reason why doctors won't stop at an accident when it happens to treat somebody there, they'll pass it on by and let ambulance bring them in because he can be sued for malpractice even there. And if we screw up right there and they accidentally hurt somebody trying to help them.
Well, there is a, what's it called?
Good Samaritan.
Yeah.
I know that. But.
I just don't think we can cover all the contingencies.
I'm just telling you the possibilities there.
Okay.
And, of course, if somebody was hurt and they were dying, I'd run the risk.
All right, let's move on. We agree on that then.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff, open letter. Oh, wait a minute, sorry. Let's do we need to see, can we prove this matter then with Joe with the caveat that he will send us via email the final version of these last few things we've added? And if we can't, I just don't want to have to take another vote. Are we all in favor of the principle of what we've just done? Okay. I guess I made a motion and I will say Jeff seconded it and we're all in favor. Okay. Okay. All right. Now, Jeff, let's send a welcome letter.
Okay. The welcome letter, I sent the welcome letter in the PDF to everyone on the board and only got responses back from Jody. Received some instruction last month to beef it up, get more information about where to go to the webpage and stuff. And then Linda asked me a question, who is going to send this out? And I think we needed to verify that what the welcome packet was going to do, so that everybody understood that when Linda is notified by the county or by the Clarkson Investment Group or someone that says, I've sold my lot or here's a new owner, then the responsibility would be for the board to send out this welcome packet, and I think that would fall on your shoulders if you're doing that. Just want to fine-tune it so that we can compete with developer or whoever was going to be the association.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. So I will finish it up with you guys in members before this.
All right.
I didn't get it. The WorkCamper, I've been registered on WorkCampers.com, opened up an account for Deer Springs Ranch, and then placed an ad, which ran from July 2nd until July 7th, and I haven't received any responses back yet. That ad costs $150 to run for those days. I did have some interest from people that were working for us at the Cowboy Bunkhouse. We thought that would be great to come out here. So, you know, there was such a short period of time. Should I continue? Should I wait? Wait till next year?
I think a lot of people have made their plans, and you probably ought to wait till next year.
Try it again?
And then try it again with some lead time. Cause,
like in November.
Like these people plan where they're going to be there next summer during the winter, I believe.
I agree.
Something you could post in the wintertime when people are looking.
Yes.
Hey, Paul?
Yeah, bring your tent forward here, maybe. Okay. Okay, is that it then?
Yes.
All right, Paul Brayton, Wingate Wilderness Therapy Group's letter.
So we have it written up and we'll be emailing it to you guys. Really, and I mentioned this last month. We have it written up, but that's just kind of some things that we see. So we'll email it to you guys. You guys can add your comments. We have a lot of issue with people that think that Wingate's on Deer Springs. We're really not. There's some, and I'm not saying that they're never not on Deer Springs, because they are. But, you know, there's a section of BLM in the middle of the slide that they know about. There's a section of BLM. They have all rights to the public land. So when you're grabbing Deer Springs and you see Wingate, hey, they're not supposed to, well, they're getting to a spot. And I've worked with them. I'm, like I told you before, I personally know them. And if there's any issue, any question, they're always open for suggestions or recommendations.
Okay.
But I do have a list, and I'll be sending it to you guys. You guys can look it over.
Well, let's do that, and we'll get it out. Why don't you send it out this week, and then let's make our suggestions. And let's try to get that letter out for 2 weeks. We don't need to all vote on it. I mean, make suggestions. And so, Linda, we'll correspond with you on this letter. So, Paul, send it to, just so we email back the right way, send it to Linda. Linda will send it to us, and we'll all correspond with her. Okay, John, gravel pit reclamation, contact Larry Clarkson, etc.
Okay. We have tried to contact Larry, and Larry promised to come by and see me. Basically, he did not want to. Doesn't feel good about loaning his equipment out, especially when he's out of town. And
we ended up hiring somebody else.
And I think we got. Have you been by the gravel pit?
I did. Yes.
Okay. We Norris Church come out with that big loader. And what we were originally going to do was have him to clean up all that gravel that was left there by the by Allen, that was against the mountain. We couldn't do any work there because it was up against it. He was going to clean it out. That was the original thing, and he figured it'd take 4 to 5 hours to do that. And he would finish out the day classifying what he had for the rest of the day, classifying it. Well, it turns out about 50% of that stuff in there, he noticed, had good gravel in it, so he just went ahead and gravel it, run it through the screen. And he ended up, at the end of the day, he must have had,
A mountain, we saw a mountain of gravel.
Yeah, it was a big mountain. And then I agreed to bring him another day because I wanted to see what he could do at first. Marcy, look at the things. He's got 17 hours in it at $100 an hour. That includes his portal in there. And we must have $8,000 worth of gravel there, if you want to call it $10 a yard.
Wonderful.
And so we're money ahead on that. So he did a super good job on it. And the dirt is, all the bad stuff is already moved, and we actually got a better road there. It's wider and it's solid because it's all rock. It isn't going to wash away.
That's going to help us in the wintertime, that corner.
And if we should ever want to bring in a crusher, we got good gravel there, and we can get a crusher for about $4,000 a week to come in there. I do have a question here, though, while we're on that subject. Right now, he's gone about as far as he can on that hill without us pushing stuff down, even with that big loader that he has. And we can't do it hardly at all with our tractor now because it's so steep. And we still need to get it down. And Norris had talked to Paul and said he has a big trackle, a really big one, that he could come in and pull down more than he could grade with the more than he could classify with the grader in one day, and that would be $125 an hour for that.
Plus travel.
It's same as portal for us to bring it out here. I'm assuming he's going to want the same $125 an hour to bring it out here.
It's an hour.
He's charging an hour each way. That's what he charged on the loader.
So didn't we already get approval to have a dozer, or was that just...
Well, we were trying to do that. We were just trying to get a little less, because Alan was going on an $800 basically fee to deliver it out here. We got this delivered out here for $200. And if we decide to get the big hole in here, we'll get it out here for $250. And he can bring that hill down a lot. We could keep the loader and go ahead and classify some more, but at any rate, it could be easier for Paul to classify.
With the backhoe.
So I think getting another $8,000 pile or $10,000 pile out of one day. And also, one of the biggest things is at some point we have to reclaim that hill.
Hello. Basically, we cost about another $1,200 for that big track hole to come out.
Where are we at on our budget and money? I mean, we got a big pile. Do we have enough for this year, or do we need the other pile?
I honestly don't know what that budget is. Somebody can tell me. We've spent $1,700 right now.
We haven't really touched any roads.
We spent $1,700 and we got all that crap.
Where did the $1,700? Where was the $1,700 assigned to?
Roads.
Assigned to roads. $1,700
to do that.
Joe, did you know the amount on our budget for roads?
Yeah, we've got a $9,000 budget for the contract services, which would include that, and $2,500 for grading, and $4,500 for culverts. So you have a $9,000 budget in there, John.
Well,
do you want to make a motion?
I make a motion that we go ahead and have him to bring that out there and work a day and bring that down so it's usable. And
you estimate it would cost?
$1,200-$1,300, somewhere along in there, from what I understand. But $125 an hour if we work in 8 hours, that's $1,000. Then we got portal to portal delivery, which is be another $450.
$1,200-$1,300 total.
Transport.
So you're asking for about $1,200-$1,300 total?
Yes, to do that.
Okay.
And you know, we got a road to do.
So let's save this one item. Do I have a second on this motion, John? Joe seconds it. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Jody?
Aye. Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
And now John has another project he wants to talk
about. I have a follow-up on that. I don't know how much of that it's going to take to do this road. What we were planning on?
It was 1,100 feet. It was supposed to be like 13
truckloads. 13 truckloads.
13.
But now we won't have to make the gravel because
it's already made. Who was going to make that for that original?
Here's the excavation was going to do it. He was going to operate the backhoe and fill the truck that's there now. So we all have to do is fill the truck. They don't have to train it.
Okay. So my follow-up is this. We're going to be taking 13 loads at, those are what, 12-yard loads?
I think 10 to 12-yard dump truck.
Okay, we're going to be taking some away. Do we want to, since we have a loader here, have him to go ahead and make up that and run the loader a day, or do we want to just strictly put that on pause?
So what he's saying is the loader's here.
The loader's already here. We wouldn't have to pay for it again. That's all.
And
it
hauled out.
But now it's already here. So we're looking at another $800.
Versus him taking a day and a half to do it. But we don't have to pay $800.
I don't think he can do as much in a day and a half with that thing as he can with that thing. That's a 3-yard bucket on that thing.
So it would take Paul how many days to do it?
Take him a week.
A week.
We're going to need a lot more gravel for the Meadow Canyon road with the damage that was done.
Oh, Meadow Canyon, and I talked last year about fixing some areas and slide up around Mike and Mary's spot where it's really rocky.
So, Leland, you have the truck talking about? Okay.
I do have a truck.
So I just don't want it to be too open-ended. I mean, we're just talking about lots of areas right now.
So what John's talking about is you guys already approved having the SBA.
Yeah, and I think we're having the feeling that we should use a loader, but where are we going to take this gravel? Anywhere else besides the Bose Road project?
So one road that I proposed last year was that road on the south end of Sly Canyon where it's super rocky and it's really hard to grade. I have a hard time with the ranch grader doing any kind of grading just because of the amount of
large boulders.
So, you know, there was two areas, that area and that area in Sly were the two areas that I talked about last year that, you know, needed some work on the ranch as far as road base.
I'll tell you one other area, you know, up Crawford was my place. And then you go up the little hill, up beef. It's the road that Fred Cyril takes all the time.
Right there by the big trees.
And right from that, from where I stopped graveling, on up to the top, and then even down a ways. That's horrible. I went over it 2 weeks ago or a week ago. I mean, it has no gravel. It's all that clay stuff. So when it was raining, I mean, we're talking about maybe from where I am graveling to the summit is probably a half a mile.
You have several places slide that have that. And Leland and I are going to talk about something going over in the Pulp.
I'd like to say we're going to use that loader. Let's load the heck out of some trucks. Let's do certain of these areas.
I'd like to keep that loader one more day.
How's everybody else?
We've got to touch up Meadow Canyon.
And Meadow Canyon. Okay, so I'm just trying to define what we're going to do. Then, so we're going to do. We want Meadow Canyon. We want to work on that bare old burn road. We want to work in slide. And I'm proposing that we work that getting up to the top there in the Crawford area. And then Meadow Canyon.
And then we got some in Poda.
Oh, we have some in Poda?
We have some. Lena and I are going to look at it together. Paul and I went over and looked at it. And Lena and I already talked about it.
Okay, so.
He wanted me to hold until he got out there.
So, do we, here's a question for you. We just say, okay, these four or five areas we just talked about, we go until our money's gone. We go to a certain point. What do we do?
At a certain point.
Okay, what is that point?
Oh, well, right now, I say the point is just what we just discussed here. We got $1,200, $1,300 out here.
Right. I mean, we're talking beyond that point. Do we
already beyond that point?
Yes.
Okay, we bring in the backhoe and spend another use the loader and create another, classify another $800 to $1,000 for it.
Okay, so there's $1,000. The trucking is going to cost us another $1,000 by the time we do all these areas or more?
I don't know.
On that.
So, I mean, Norris Church has a truck.
Yeah, he has. Sorry, I discussed it with him.
Well, whether we use Norris or their truck,
just generate some material and having it ready to go.
Now, the biggest thing is how much money are we going to spend? So, are we going to say this? We're looking at spending $3,000 to $4,000 here, and feeling good about that. Is that okay?
Yeah,
that'll put us in about $6,000 of our road budget. And that's what I would like to approve or not approve.
And I'll leave a $3,000 left?
Yes.
Well, in roads, there's still contract services, there's still culverts, there's still other money.
I mean, we'll put you over this money. Yeah. And but I'm just trying to say, not a blank check, just kind of define what we're going to do here. Does that seem reasonable in the ballpark? I mean, we...
Yeah, we're about $4,000.
That's your $4,000.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to make a motion that we accept John's description and this discussion about proposal of improving the roads that we just talked about, spending approximately $4,000. Do I have a second on that motion?
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, approved. Call you.
Aye.
What we've already.
That's right. All right. Okay, great. I feel good about that.
Bill?
Yes?
Is it possible for John to do a little write-up so we can...
Yeah,
see exactly what we're talking about, the money here.
Yeah, I don't think we'll rehash every penny or dime, but for our interest,
sure. General, if you could,
yeah.
So I can keep it in here so we know what we're doing.
So, John, you're gonna select whether it's Norris or Leon's son, or you're in charge of the hiring and the trucking and all of that with that money, okay? Okay. All right. Let's go on to Bob Allen traffic count. I don't think Bob's with us today, so.
I am with you.
Oh, okay, Bob.
I did finally get in.
The invisible man. Talk to us, Bob.
What do you want me to talk about?
We were talking about traffic count last month?
I put in, a tally sheet and directions on how to use a tally sheet for any type of a road count that we would do up at the ranch. And with what I provided, just about anybody could sit there in the vehicle and do it. And the most critical part of the form would be what might be put in remarks. Because when I worked at UDOT, I could turn in a bad count or a bad study, but they would read my remarks, and then it would be a good study. So remarks are good, and these counts could be done anytime.
Let me take this off.
And I could get with the county and get traffic counters, probably. But the thing is, then it would alert the county that we're up to something. And then, like in the days where I was up by our ranch putting out traffic counters, a lot of the time the hoses were cut in half in the middle because the other ranchers around didn't want the state to have the traffic count. And so that's another big worry. And a lot of these roads don't have enough volume to give you a good count unless it's a good study.
Okay, so if I'm understanding, we're looking at these forms. You're suggesting a human being, pardon me, I leave off my H's all the time.
Bill?
Yeah.
We'll just count the pictures.
Hey, okay, Vance, you've done the camera thing, and Bob. What about a motion camera instead of a live person, and we just review the pictures of when something goes by?
Well, we would have to find the traffic counters to do that because, like, UDOT never loaned their equipment out, and the county might be the same. And
I'm
so,
no, we have cameras, right?
We use our own camera.
We use our own camera, Bob.
Well, I know, but I mean, you mean to watch the counters. Isn't that what
no,
you mean?
No, no. No, not. We mean...
To do the count.
Right.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, that would work perfect.
So could we put one at the Iron Gate on Meadow Canyon and then one down?
Okay, we're now talking about areas where we would have the cameras, Bob. Just saying one at the gate that goes into the Forest Service.
And then one out here on the actual at the bottom of the hill.
One at the bottom of
right.
The hill.
I just move it every week.
Well, yeah, we just do one area at a time.
You could just keep them in motion all the way around the ranch, and you could get the whole thing covered, and then you'd know what's happening all over.
And you're suggesting here a 7-hour count?
Well, for UDOT, it required 7 hours. On the federal highway bill, but I don't know really. So I don't know what it would be for us.
Yeah,
but you can make it as many hours as you want. But see, that would be like all daylight with the camera.
Right, sun up to sundown. Okay, now discussion. How do we instigate this? We only need one camera.
John's in security. Let's just get in here. One of his cameras. Put it on Meadow Canyon Road.
And isn't that the only road of question right now?
Well, that's the only road that they're supposed to be using.
Okay.
The others are technically a no-no. The signs even say indicate that.
John, are you on overload? Would you be able to do this? We're doing a lot lately.
Well... We just want to put a camera up.
So we'll put a camera at the Iron Gate, goes in the Forest Service, leave it there, sun up to sundown, and
there's already one there.
Yeah.
Already one there. And then one down.
Right when that's the Deer Springs property.
Well, I don't think that is an awfully big thing. We put that on. Probably the biggest thing will be reading it.
Okay, but you could give the card. Robert.
Yeah.
You have a card, huh? Okay, Robert, are you there?
Yep, I'm still here.
If we position the cameras and take the pictures and have the card, are you willing to do the counting?
Yeah, I could do it for you because it'll give you the date and the hour, right?
Right. Okay, then we'll do that. We'll do that and get it to you. You'll want to be contacting John Harris.
Okay, and I'll do it to the count that you've got in front of you, so you'll always know what's going on.
Okay. Anything else that's not on this list that anybody wants on this list?
So was it agreed that we should have a camera coming down from the CLM
Both ends.
One coming up.
Yes.
There's already one there.
Well, I think you're going to have some traffic coming off of the Cannonville this direction going up. It won't be seen by that camera over there.
Well, why don't we just take the camera and put it right where it turns in?
Right in the middle.
My question is, how long do we do this?
I think, how long can it record for?
I don't know. Paul, you know how long those cameras are?
Depending on how many pictures it takes.
Why don't we just do it 2 weeks at each place?
Okay. 2 weeks max.
Yeah.
And I don't think you need to specify a car, truck, or pickup. A vehicle's a vehicle.
If you were here last week.
Right, and yeah. I think, too, in our case, we're not going to be concerned what the vehicle is. It's just a vehicle, right?
Right, right.
Or do we need the breakdown? Because there is a weight difference between a car and a dually, you know, the big 4-axle.
Pulling a trailer or something?
Right.
ATVs are lighter. They just faster tend to use a lot of squirrel and stuff.
We just need to know how many vehicles.
Just how many vehicles?
Right, and like on the ATVs that I see, that any that are pictures are taken, they're going to go in the other bin. So we account for them to know they're there.
Okay. All right, Bob, you can refine it and get that card from John, and we'll put 2 weeks at the top of Meadow Canyon before you go in the Forest Service, and 2 weeks where they turn off at the 25-mile-an-hour sign from the county road going up. Okay?
Okay. Okay, that sounds good.
All right. Let's move on.
Weren't we trying to put this together for the commission meeting in Kane County in August? Aren't we trying to put something together to present to them? And if that being the case...
I don't know that we have... August is a specific deadline. We were talking about doing it just because that's when the next one was. So,
yeah.
I mean, then we have a year. So I don't know. Does anybody feel like we have to make the August meeting, or does it matter?
Well, did we get a letter out to the...
Here's what. We were going to do the letter, but then the grader did come up.
Yeah, and went up in there,
and I drove it, and they graded it a nice job on the pink loop.
Yeah, we went up, and it was ironic that it came within 2 days of when we discussed it.
So I held writing any letter because they actually came through.
But there were other issues, safety issues, liability issues.
Yeah, and we'll know car issues, John.
Well, there's speed issues, and maybe I'm getting ahead of the cart here with the horse, or just ahead of the horse with the cart here. But do we want to put up some more?
We wanted to have more signs. We didn't want to have more speed limit signs, and I can't remember. We wanted to increase them by twice of what they were. Seems like there's 4 now. We wanted 8. And who? Anybody have a idea? Would we have to pay for them, or did we pay for them already? Or
we paid for them.
How much were they a piece? So they're about $100 a piece.
Oh no.
No.
$46.
$50 a piece. Four more would be $200. Do we want to make that expense?
We were going to present it.
Yeah, to the county.
Well, they put them up, don't they?
No.
No? Oh.
We purchased them.
Leland.
You can get a bid from Utah Barricade. They make those signs.
To put them up and everything?
You don't make any sign you want.
Really expensive.
I don't know.
Rainbow sign and banners. Rainbow sign and banners are a little cheaper. You could actually get them online.
Yeah, I have them online first,
but
I got
so she got the ones online for $50 a piece, approximately, a little less.
Okay, let me ask this.
And who put them up?
We vote on.
Okay. Yes.
We are going to renegotiate with the county on the road. Is that correct or not correct?
We're trying to decide if it's in our best interest to do that. And there's feelings like we probably should.
Yeah.
Well, but we are now, right now, I think what we're trying to do is get a feel or gather in some info. The traffic study would be one thing. What will that do for us? Leland.
Give us a base to start from so you can tell them when you've talked to them.
This is how many people are coming. Okay. What other information do we need? One was whether they're grading. They went and graded above us. We still don't know. We still don't know if they graded.
They didn't touch Meadow Canyon.
Didn't touch Meadow Canyon.
I watched. They were up there a few days. I watched.
So should we still be requesting a log then on when they have ever touched Meadow Canyon?
Well, I don't think that would hurt it when you're negotiating and say, well, what have you done for us?
Okay.
You know, we've done all this for you and for the community.
Okay, then I'd held up writing that letter, so I'll write the letter that says, hey, we saw, we've been interested in your activity. We saw that you came and did the pink loop. However, we also noticed that you never dropped the blade going down, coming down or going up on our road, and blah, 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 blah. This was part of our agreement. Can you tell us, you know, we know you're not obligated to, but in the spirit of things, you said you probably would, but we notice you haven't. You have other logs that show us that you have, in fact, done this, that kind of a letter?
Yeah, that.
Okay.
Yeah, and then... And if we move into
after the meeting, I'm going to write it. I'm going to write it with you.
I'm right. Well, okay. You got the original draft that I did, right?
Yeah.
So we can.
Okay, we'll massage it. I'll massage the original draft in that fashion to get that information that we want.
And I guess we'll have to negotiate then if we're going to continue with this on whether or not they get the same material to replace what's been. So
yeah.
I've seen some of the quality. Now, I can't say who did it. That might have been our people that likes to spend donuts on that road.
I know.
Thoughts. But I can't honestly say it was they, the public, or...
And I don't think we're going to ever have that information.
No, I don't think we will either. But it just throws stuff off.
Okay, well, that whole discussion would be for another day. Approaching, but keep in mind things John's bringing up. We do want to, so we'll keep gathering what information we can. If you think of a better way or another way to gather information, let it be known.
Yes, and I was wondering if we buy the signs or we ask them to buy and put the signs.
We had to buy the first one, so we're going to have to buy these.
Well, we talked them into buying the ones that we're going to vote.
They just put some signs up for us for private property and things.
Yeah.
Well, okay. It may not be worth arguing about for a couple of $100.
Yeah, it's worth asking them, though.
It is worth asking.
Okay, then in this letter we'll ask.
Okay.
We'll make a statement that we've noticed that these people, we'll blame it all on them. These outside people are speeding. And we, at our own expense, put up 4 signs. We would like to double that and would ask you to do it.
Well, okay. And in the letter I also put, what are our alternatives when we have a speeder?
Yeah, we have no enforcement.
If it's not our road.
It's our road. It's still our road.
We want special ATV signs.
Stating,
Paul, you've brought it up to me.
You know the road. You come around, you know, right before the ponds, before the cattle guard, and, you know, it's a blind
turn.
Somebody's doing 25, 30 on ATV, the other person's doing the same.
And by the way, going up to that, there's one dip in the road off to the left or somewhere that really could tip somebody there.
So, but my thing is a couple ATV signs just almost kind of for the ranch's sake. Just say, hey, there are ATVs here, and there's nothing that says, you know, there's ATVs.
How many ATV sizes do we need?
I think it's two.
Two.
One on one side.
Who price those out to you then?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's move on.
Okay, wait. So we want to have someone attend the meeting?
In August?
August?
Is it a special meeting or is it just
a normal meeting?
But it's a normal meeting?
I thought we wanted to have them, we wanted to notify them that we have some concerns and in the future we'll be bringing them so that they put us on the agenda.
I don't think, well, that's kind of like, see, I'm thinking about suing you, but I don't know, I don't think we should say anything until we
that's
do
like
it.
It's like we're going to put a lien on your property.
Okay. Yeah.
That's
I don't think we should say anything until we have this gathered this information.
And it can't be gathered by the time the commission meets us.
No.
Because that's what our intent was last time, to make sure that we were ready for the August meeting.
Yeah, but they have one every month, right? So now we'll try to be ready for September meeting.
It could be done with private session.
Which the county has an annual meeting in September?
No, we haven't.
Oh, yeah, I know. But the county's meeting is every month, right?
Right.
Okay. So I don't know that it makes, it won't make any difference if we don't have the information. We're not ready for August. That's just the way it is.
Hey, Phil.
You had to.
This is Bob.
Yes,
Lou at the county talked to me about the MOU just before the car show here in Kanab, and that was a couple or 3 weeks ago before we started talking about it. So the county is thinking about that MOU and what we're going to do.
Okay, so I think this letter will be a little affirmation that we are thinking about it. And I'll try to put all those kind of, I mean, without being threatening or trying to be...
Another thing to keep in mind is that the MOU says you have to give written notice 90 days before the end of the third year.
Yeah, so we definitely...
We're running out of time for you doing.
We have 13 months?
No, we have nine.
9 months?
No, we're 2 years into it.
Yeah, we're 2 years into it, so we have...
So do we have a year? That's 12 months?
Right.
Yeah.
But 3 months before that, you have to.
So we have 8 to 9 months.
That's
so
why I brought it up.
That's why we need to get this stuff. We need to get this stuff together.
Speaking of the signs, I sure appreciate those. The street signs. As far as, you know, if there's an accident out here, just say, hey, go to Broad Hollow. They go, there's a sign at Broad Hollow, or they go to Crawford, or they go to Old Burn Road. I mean, very nice.
There's still some signs since along that. There's still some signs that need to be done up in Crawford that I haven't finished. But that's the last area of the ranch that needs to have the signs and lot numbers put up. It's Crawford.
You can come to my place to see a great big cedar post right on the property line.
Look there.
Look there.
As far as emergency crews coming out,
yeah, they've stated that they want to have those numbers.
I think the county, everybody has an address now. Every lot has an address out there. So,
okay. Jody, we're ready for you to talk about insurance policy for ranch and horseback riding and DSR shirts.
Wait, and I don't have that. Never mind. Give me a second.
Okay.
I'm here.
Wait a second, Jody. So you have your stuff?
Yeah.
Would it be good for the Hunts to say something before you say something, or he wants to say something before you spit it out,
sure.
Jody, so hang
sure,
on.
Sure, go ahead, because I'll have questions for him, too. Go ahead.
First, I'd like to issue... As far as we're concerned, it's been way, way blown out of proportion. What it is that we expected, what it is we're wanting to offer, we wanted to offer a service to all of our members to be able to ride horses on the ranch again. And we've suffered a lot of drama in our lives already, and talking about it, we come out to the ranch for peace and solitude, waiting through the drama that we've been dealing with.
until the last meeting, I never talked to one single member, board member or member association who didn't want that, so we thought we were just kind of on the same team. We don't want to, we're not willing to suffer through all those issues to buy the service. We're not making money. I doubt we'll get the money back if we stand on it. If it turns into a big horse riding, blown up operation, I don't want that on the ranch anyway. Come off the ranch for peace and solitude and, you know, for a nice bit and an easy deal. And we thought that would be a good thing. But I think now it's wasting your time and we're wasting our time. And we respectfully withdraw our offers to provide horseback riding services.
Okay.
Family, ranch members.
All right, that's, I'm sure it saddens a lot of us, and, but we understand. I understand. Okay, Jody, with that said, take it away.
Yeah, it's a sad thing that the world has gotten to where it's at with this insurance and stuff, because it would be a wonderful thing to have the horseback riding there. And, yes, I would love to have the horseback riding there, but I don't know if it was something I talked about last time, but the insurance guy did. He found out that it would cost us, our insurance rate would double what we're paying now, and we'd have to find it from another company. But now what I do want to ask, on that, on this insurance that we're talking about, are you guys still wanting to do the cookouts and such? Are we still talking about that at all?
Perhaps. If you want to, then we'll
maybe on a case-by-case basis.
Well, here's why I'm asking that, because, you know, even if you're doing the cooking, we'd still need an insurance policy with us additionally insured, but that would be way more doable and way more affordable than talking horseback. So I didn't know, we all talked about the horseback last month, but we didn't talk about the cookouts and such. So I wanted to see if you guys have researched that. I looked through the insurance policy that you gave me, but it doesn't really go into what was asked to cover, so I don't know if cookouts were in there or not. It just says saddle animals. So let us know, or if you know now, what you want to do about that, but it still would require an insurance, a general liability on your part as a company, but I don't know if it's separate. It's probably separate than your horseback riding policy.
Jody, let me frame this differently. If a member wants to have another member help them with a cookout, that's a one-on-one private situation.
Correct.
And any member has access to the center part of the ranch here, the barbecue pit or whatever, within reason. And so I feel like we're trying to make it too official, and it's not something that's going to happen every week. And John's got a question, but I'm trying to get my 2 cents in. And so, I don't know that we need. I mean, it's one member having another member help them with a party.
Well,
I need insurance for that.
When you're starting to do it as a business and you're exchanging funds for it, it becomes non-neighbor to non-neighbor. It's more like you're doing a business now. And from my understanding, I thought that Brad wanted to do like Friday night cookouts or weekend cookouts, and not only have membership there, but other people, and that would be great. I don't think it's a big deal. The insurance is a big deal, but I don't think it's going to be a costly deal by any means. I think that's really something rather simple, and it's just preparing meals, and we're just covered with them being covered on it in case something were to go wrong.
Okay, John had his
like,
thing to say.
I know that Brad respectfully withdraw, but I want to beat the dead horse a little bit.
I think, John, you just need to talk to Brad about that.
Yeah, no, I'm wanting to back up to about the insurance thing. I emailed you on it, my thoughts on it. And did you like it at all? Did you agree with any of it?
The part about being off the, go ahead and start.
All right, I'll just spit it out for everybody. You know, we've had horseback rides here over the years, for a lot of years, and we've had the horse itself. They belong to the ranch.
we have had an alcoholic that's come to work here to handle not only the ranch, but handle the horseback rides and everything else. And to my knowledge, we have not had one claim insurance over that whole time, with one exception. When a non-member come out here with his own horse and claimed that a mule scared his horse, he did not win that argument. And my thinking is that we have a qualified wrangler here with him handling all the paperwork as he needs to handle, and with the laws that we have in this state already on the books about horseback riding, and they would protect us unless they can prove negligence. Okay, and
but it would protect us from our insurance company.
You know, I just, the insurance company, maybe we ought to seek another carrier. I just can't say what, understand with that kind of a record why they would just arbitrarily say, well, we're going to double your, or we're going to cancel you.
No. Let me clarify this. He said, because our insurance policy is, the insurance carrier that we have is one of the most conservative in the United States. It's one of the better ones. However, he didn't say that they're going to double it. He said, we can search out. He said, if we do start horseback riding, that company will cancel us. If we want to search outside of that company for insurance policy, his best estimate is that we're currently paying about $4,374 a year for property insurance. And that will not change. But the $2,900 we're paying for liability will triple no matter where we go, no matter what company that we do go. So we'll end up paying our new policy. If we farm it out and search it, he is estimating the best rate that we would get would be about $13,000 a year, which is double what we're paying now. So he's not saying that he's going to charge us double. He's saying that company will not carry us anymore, and that when we go out to find it, this is the price we're looking at.
Well, then, I have a real problem understanding if that's true. And we're talking to one guy there. If that's true, I have a real problem understanding why some of these small outfits that are taking horseback rides up here in Bryce Canyon and other places, how they're getting by. Ole Lindgren is, by all means, he's a small guy, and yet he does that. And he's been doing it for years. And he is licensed to go into Bryce Canyon. And when you're licensed going to a national park, you've got to be well covered. But there is no way that a small guy like that can afford $13,000 a year.
No. No, but you have to break it. You have to look at the breakdown that I gave you. The $4,400 of that is for our property insurance. We only pay $2,900 right now for liability. When we add on, if we were to add on the horseback riding times three, hold on, it would be about an $8,811 policy a year added on to our property insurance. That is in the ballpark of what those things cost. I know that because in my Jeep Tour company, I was paying $7,500 a year, and that was with no living animals. That was with vehicles on a dirt road. So liability with horses, because they're fight or flight, they're a little bit higher. You're not going to find a policy for under $8,000. Now, I'm kind of wondering, too, on the policy that I received only said saddle horses. I don't know what was applied for in that policy. Like, do they know you're going to be doing this commercially? Or do they know you're going to be putting people commercially on the back of those horses? Those things I was going to talk to Brad about later, but being that he just made his statement. But, yes, the policy for those individual outfitters would run about $8,000 a year. I don't think you're going to find it cheaper than that.
Well, we haven't actually tried, have we?
Okay, well, I doubt that Brad would sell that much money, total, gross, without any expenses, so, in a year. So,
does that cost increase include the protection for the board members who make that decision? Because you're taking on a higher liability, we're finding out.
We're covering up the other policy.
That and that does not come into play in this yet. That's not even including that part. Is that Leland?
Yeah.
That's just to add on the horseback riding, because it just increases our risk by that much more.
Hey, Jeff?
I spoke with another insurance agent when we were doing our business insurance this last week, and I asked him that question. What do you do about horseback riding if you're on a ranch? And he said, well, if you have a wrangler that already has their own insurance, you ask their insurance company to additionally insure you under their policy, and you don't have to do anything.
Okay, that's not correct, though. But there's some, you have to get, like, if we were going to allow horseback riding or somebody doing cookouts, any commercial venture to come onto the site, we do need to get them to claim us as additionally insured. There's about four other things we need to do to protect our butts. But the problem is we're not adding horseback riding to our policy. We're not doing that. We're making, as a board, if we've made the decision to move ahead, it's adding that risk to our association. That's what that's about. It's not, we don't have horseback riding insurance. We're not carrying that. That's the cost we pay for the risk that we're putting forth to the membership and to the board and to the whole ranch. Does that help clear that up?
No, because if the wrangler has the insurance to protect him and his business, and we're additionally insured under his policy, why do we have to do anything else?
We don't have to do anything else, but we do have to have the insurance company that is covering us is going to say, hey, okay, you're fine on that, but now you've increased our risk, you've increased your risk, we're going to charge you more for that. We're not getting a horseback riding policy.
No, what I'm saying, though, is if you just step back and say, okay, the ranch by itself has XYZ insurance, covers us for everything we ever do. A wrangler come in, we've asked them to have their own insurance, their policy, if we're added as an additionally insured, and there's something that goes wrong, their insurance policy covers the ranch, and we also can tell when it's renewable, because we're on there as an additional insured.
Correct.
Copies of all the payments, everything that's done, and if it's canceled early, we know that up front. So we're protected by this additional insurance company.
No, okay, if you were additionally insured, all that means is if an accident were to happen and somebody were to get thrown off a horse and die, number one, they're going to sue Brad's company. Number two, they're going to sue our company. Now, the insurance agent was saying, you know, yes, we definitely want to be additionally insured, but that is not a guarantee. What he was saying, if you went to that, if you guys really want to have that and you proceed farther to have the horseback riding, you would want Brad's company to specifically state in the document that if a lawsuit were to come forth, that company will cover Deer Springs Ranch attorney fees and lawyer costs and all the costs assumed with that suit, so that Deer Springs Ranch would not be liable at all. No, that's not what additionally insured means. Additionally insured means that we are second in line under their policy, so when someone sues him, they're going to sue us, and we're going to be part of the lawsuit, but they're not going to, if we have to obtain our own lawyer, they're not going to be paying for that, as far as I understand how that works. That we need to request, I lost my train of thought there. And when we're additionally insured, we don't get receipt of payments and stuff like that. All we get is their certificate that's done once a year, and we get that sent to us. But that's telling us that, okay, the policy has been renewed. But no, additionally insured does not mean you're off the hook. Additionally insured means, okay, we're going to help you with this, but if it gets farther down the chain and they're asking for more than that insurance company wants to deal with, like if we did what he was suggesting, their lawyers would handle us. Being additionally insured, their lawyers are going to handle us to a point, but they're not going to be responsible for making any payments of damages and such. And I'll find out more from the insurance person on that, and he's all I have to do is ask him, and he'll write it up for us and send it. But that's my scope of the knowledge.
Hey, Kathy has a question.
Yeah, being in real estate, our bosses, our companies, our insurance have to get a writer that will protect them from being sued if it we call it a rider. I don't know if that's the difference. But that's what we have to have. They cannot go past our insurance. I mean, our company, they will only come out with us for our insurance. So I don't know if that term, the rider, is different than what you're talking about, but that's what we have to have to be able to sell real estate and work in our office. So.
Yeah, they're posted. One of them's posted over there on the tack room. Because you ride horses at your own risk.
They still see you.
Sure.
They still win sometimes. Well, we have to go with fact, and so for our own heart's good, get it in writing from our that insurance guy, Jody.
Okay, I will.
And if you can make one other inquiry to some any other company, just for a like.
Okay, a comparable.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Do that.
Okay. And question for Brad. Brad, do you still have the copy of what you submitted to be approved by the insurance company? Is there a way I can get a copy of that? He was asking about that. I'm like, I don't know. I don't have that paper. I just have the insurance policy. It's so vague, it doesn't tell what the description is of what the outfitter that you want to do.
Fred? Not sure.
Jody and all, can I speak in? This is Vance.
Yeah, Vance.
It's in the minutes from last time, and I'm going to sound like a broken record, but would all of this stuff become moot if all we did is have a posted schedule kind of in our bulletin board down there at HQ, which identifies Brad Hunt or whoever as an outside contractor who offers horse rides near but not on ranch property?
So we're saying we're just saying for your information only, we do not recommend or condone, but there is a horse riding provider. And he does do this over there. You can investigate this on your own. The ranches cannot be responsible in any way if you become harmed.
Is that the actual people asking?
Yeah, but the big thing is that the actual ride / activity / whatever takes place on the monument or the forest where there's a whole different set of requirements for having permits, which Ole had when he did this. And as long as it's not on ranch property, does our insurance give a hoot?
That I'll have to find out, but it shouldn't. I don't think they would care at that point, because now you're dealing with the federal regulations on it and the BLM regulations on it. And I know they said they didn't have those permits last time we talked. It'd take a while to get them, but I'll ask the insurance guy that.
Well, they're doable, though, because other people have done them. And the people who have done them, like Holy, for instance, they're not mega millionaires, so.
Right. And see, like the Forest Service, if they were to get a permit for the Forest Service has all these codes and rules and stuff built in their system, so they can't be sued for it because it's public ground, whereas we don't have that. But, yes, it's something that if Brad's interested in, I can check with the insurance people first about the ramifications of doing it, but then he can check on how costly, I know how costly it is, and how the procedure to get a forest permit and what they charge you per ride on it.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm just tossing that out there. If it's not on ranch property, then, for us
right.
Things get sent, I don't know how complicated it gets for the outfitter. I have no input on that. But I said, one thing you don't want to do, having done this for a long time, is start making strange inquiries about various kinds of insurance to anybody, because that sets off red lights somewhere.
Yeah, and the insurance agent, he realizes that and is doing it in a way that won't do that, won't set up the flags.
Well, but we are doing it. I appreciate and I applaud his stating that he's going to try to not set off the red lights, but he can't guarantee that.
Well, he's independent. He doesn't specifically work for just one insurance company, so they would have no idea where it's coming from.
Okay. All right. That was all I had to say. You guys carry on.
Okay.
Well, okay, so I guess...
I was just going to say, we need to move on, but Jody, you can still go ahead and ask him those questions. You can get something written, fine, another bit, fine. I think, personally, I'm just going to speak out and say, I think, take us, the ranch, out of it totally. And Brad just kind of semi-indicated to me, you know, yeah, I said, we got to just take the ranch out of this totally and do something down the road, whether it's 1 mile, 500 feet, or 10 miles. It's all the same, and if you want to do that, think of that. So, that sound okay? Okay. Done with you, John.
I have a question.
Okay. Yes.
Can I recommend the Hunt legally?
No. You can only say we know of an outfitter that does horse rides,
okay.
But he's not a part of our ranch. We can't recommend him. If you want to go check it out, go check it out.
Okay.
All right, Brent Fulmer, contact Tammy Levitt about fire hose.
I tried getting the wife on, I never could make contact, but she's apparently they're coming up and bringing the hose to the
back. Okay, great.
So,
okay, MOU and Kane County Commissioner meeting in August, we already talked about that. Commercial cleanup in Podunk. We're going to get a bid.
I got a bid.
Okay. Then I think if you have a bid, and here's another letter,
you should send them a copy of the bid
saying you either clean it up or we're hiring this company, whatever time limit we decide right now, and we will file a lien against your lot for that amount. We expect you to pay it. We'd rather you just do it all yourself, but here are these people. If you want to hire them, hire them. Is that okay?
Can you send the letter?
You can give it to me, and me and Linda will send it.
And it's bad. He wasn't able to give exact numbers because it's such a big mess.
Okay. I'm going to give this to Linda so I don't lose it. And the bottom
here, up there.
Can you send this electronically to Linda? So that she can send it electronically to those people. So it's just saying a rate, but there's no amount like a guess estimate then, huh? Can't we get a, it could be, we can't tell till we're on site doing it, but it might be between 2,000 and 20,000. We just can't tell. Something? Okay, get that.
Is there a mobile home or an RV or something that was fixed? Is it deconstructed and they left the insulation and all that?
They just destroyed them and on the property.
They still have some standing.
Yeah, there's still one mobile
home. I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
It's all right, we love you anyway.
I would suggest not a letter by email. The man is a lawyer. I would suggest a registered letter. Sign it because he can say I never received it and address. I didn't get anything.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do it that way.
He just put out a minimum estimate of around 10,000. He says he's not sure because it's going to take multiple trips into the canal and.
He also suggested a different route of digging a big hole, not burying it, but get the fire marshal out there on a good day. There, and then it's on that biggest one down.
Okay.
And then haul the metal.
I'll talk with Linda. We'll get a kind of a letter, and then I'll have Linda send it to you guys since you understand it, and then send it back to us if we don't have something covered.
Is there a landfill up towards
Glendale?
There's a
little
thing.
I don't know. Okay. My eyes are just watering like crazy. My glasses are dirty. And newsletter for July. We have a lot of recommendations here. Okay, you don't all have copies of this, so maybe I should read it. Include a place for members' input on RV dump and RV pads. Have an article concerning contributions for more fire hose for the ranch. Report from the Forest Rangers and BLM on the fuel reduction project. Information from the dedicated hunters. From dedicated hunters to create a fire break. Thistle spray available to members by calling Carl Kern. MOU discussion, if they want wranglers and horseback riding, general liability form, if not completed with all names of people and party have ever turned in, the ranch manager should have copies available and should be completed before keys are given out for reservations, new hats, ranch store, Jody, new shirts, special thanks, DSR signs being fixed, and new road signs erected. Okay.
I'll volunteer to do the RV dump article.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. I think we just need to refer the members, if they want to look into it, to our webpage for the fire stuff. Vance has put that there. Dedicated hunter stuff. Somebody brought that up.
They were supposed to call me if anybody that's members of the ranch or something wanted somebody to do some firebreaking on their property line.
Or if they want to do their hours.
They want to do their hours and get it to me.
But they haven't?
Haven't had anybody call yet.
Okay.
Well, didn't go out to membership or anything.
Yeah.
It was going to go out in the newsletter, I think.
Well, that's what we're working on.
So do you want to take that little part of that article for that? Okay.
You need to submit an article.
Okay, so liability form. These guys, they were in town. They were going to get printer cartridges. They were going to cost around $200.
That's all the forms so far.
Why do I want? Okay. Okay. Hold those up, Linda. Look at Linda over here.
Woo-hoo!
So we're getting our liability forms as people come in to stay. I authorized, instead of spending $200, spending $300 and something to get a laser jet printer because their ink cartridges weren't lasting. They were drying up before they made things. And,
well, my HP already printed anything on the drive the bone.
Yes.
They want $200.
Yeah. So we have a laser jet printer here. The ranch managers are printing up these forms that we're getting them signed now. So that's good.
Phil, I need to get one of those for the website.
Okay, Linda will get it to you.
Electronically.
And Candy has.
And I think it should be like, well, we'll try to make it somewhere real prominent in reservations and a couple other places, you know, that they're going to run into this.
Okay.
Okay.
Comment was, a paragraph of what should be in the newsletter regarding this need to have it completed and where they can find it.
Okay. When I send a confirmation letter that they have received the cabin, this is attached to that letter. At the very top of it says, with arrow, please fill out and bring to your ranch headquarters. Do they bring them?
We just had our first one the other day.
Okay.
Yesterday.
So I made them several, I think 50 copies, and well, new glue and gave it to them, and that was the instructions. Fill it out before you get a key.
Okay.
People need to have
But there's bonds in the head again, and if it's in the newsletter, that's all I'm saying. Just, oh, by the way, I agree.
I have been before. I agree, but one thing to consider too is how much time it's taking, and it's good time, but it's taking a lot of extra time on their part to make sure we've got them. And you just need to recognize that they are doing this and it's spending a lot of time. And they are doing it. It's happening.
Yeah, it needs to happen.
Slipped away, haven't they?
Yeah.
Slipped away. Had to go up and get them.
Yeah.
Or like,
That's what it takes. That's what we need to do.
Yeah.
There's no getting around it. Will you do the part of the newsletter about his forms?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
Is this something that can go out in the annual newsletter or when you send out for... dues at the beginning of the year?
No.
Is this something so everybody is signing
on? Last year.
And so you can
sign it last year.
You and your wife.
I got...
I don't have those on.
We did last year. Yep.
That's a good thing.
Good thing. It'll take a few years for people to get used to it.
Yeah.
New hats at Ranch Store. Jody, new shirts.
Yes, the shirts. The graphic is at the shirt producer now. He should be sending me a proof by next week. I would like to say they might be there at the next meeting. I'm not going to guarantee that because you just never know with these companies, but... For custom orders, we've got it on the plate. They're working on it. We just took our logo that we had made last year, the one that had the deer walking across the red with the hoodoos in the background, and all they have to do is put it on a shirt and design a background to make it pop, and we're good to go. So hopefully, maybe next month.
Okay. All right, that's all of our assignment follow. It seems like that's our main agenda for every meeting these days. So back to the original agenda, and we will have Ranch Report from Paul Braden.
Well, it's been a busy month. I think everybody was pleased to know that there's a lot of extra time being spent on the cabin. So it's kind of relayed to us again this month that we kind of do the same. So we, I think I just finished.
Has everybody seen this picture? Is that one of the cabins?
Yeah, it's cabin 3. And if anybody knows cabin 3, everybody knows about the walkway down to the door. Down to the deck. With some rock. We got some loads of rock up there, put some rock around the,
where'd you get that rock?
So just right down here, scoot up it.
Yeah. Did you have to pay for it?
Yeah.
How much is it?
So, I think the first two loads were $400 a load, but it was anywhere from, 13 to 15 yards, depending on how full we got two loads, but, $400 for 15 yards.
And which part of the budget does that come out of?
I'm not sure. I don't know if it's going around cabins, on cabin maintenance.
I would assume,
So that's cabin 3. We also did some rock around cabin 2 and some rock around cabin 1. And a lot of it is to keep mud inside the cabin, keep the dust down.
You buried the water line at both.
And I also buried the water line at that one. The outside work on the cabins, I think, is important also, but trying to do some work on the inside of the cabins when they're booked is kind of tough. John got us a, turned me on to fix the cabin. So I had a lot of mistakes when we go through paint. So we started texturing and found out we had a reservation in that cabin, so we had to kind of scurry to, get the cabin available. We're trying to get, some stuff done in the cabins at the busiest time of year. It's not working. But we did, I think it was last year, annual meeting, he gave us that deck paint. We ended up getting another gallon and did a deck on cabin 8, and it turned out so good we thought we'd do cabin 7. So we got another 2 gallons. We did. So that deck over paint, it really, I mean, it kind of makes those cabins pop. Makes the deck look brand new. And so 7 and 8 are done as far as that. The deck on cabin 3, we did put a waterproofer on it. You know, that's kind of raw wood. I don't know how long that waterproofer lasts, but maybe...
Pumps last quite a while, and you can't tell it's on unless you fill water on.
Maybe put another coat on before winter time. I don't know. And as far as I'm as far as I know, everybody that's seen those cabins in the rocker on the cabin, they absolutely love it. That makes it really look good. As far as roofs go, we did do a little grading last month and started to a little bit this month. Busy with everything. But we did do, if you guys noticed when you drove in, the cattle guard's gone from there, at the gate. It's been kind of an issue as far as the water coming off the hill, filling that cattle guard, making it work. So, now it's working on the crops and making it better. Kind of traded horses to walk the cattle. It also, that cattle guard halfway up Middle Canyon, I pulled it out. One of the big concerns with the ones holding out as far as maintaining their grazing up north of that cattle guard. I pulled that out and cleaned it up, put it all back together. You saw the gravel pit work. You know, there's thousands of dollars worth of gravel there for $1,000, but a lot of it's worth it. I do plan on posting some signage around it. I know last time we had a big pile of gravel, and it seemed like everybody and their brother could back the truck up and took it. I don't want that to happen. So I'm just going to print up, maybe have it laminated, stick it on a board, and say, hey, you know, property at DSROA, you know, unless you have permission.
You need to pay for this. You need to pay for this. Don't take any of this if you haven't paid for this.
You know, because it'll little by little start disappearing.
Must be allergic to such a stuff.
So we've also talked about the, and I'm glad you guys agree, because I think the bigger the screen pile we get, the better. You know, I just want to start putting some material on roads. We've talked about it for years. Water, everything's good. I sent another sample in this last week. The cedar came back good. We did have an incident. Busiest weekend of the year. Cow opened the hydrant, drained all the water in the upper system. But just for the record, that water system is so good. I drained the system. I hooked the generator up to it, pumped all night, and ended up the cabins did run out of water, but once it was fixed, once the problem was solved, fired the generator up, pumped water all night, and had water in the cabin within hours.
Catch that cow.
What's that?
Catch that cow.
No.
Which hydrant was it that he opened?
One in the Grove.
In the Grove.
The only one without a lock on it. So I did put a strap around it, but it did take some time to kind of find that. But as far as water system goes, everything's good. Fences, it was one of my responsibilities to get 2 bids, and I think, I don't know if I gave it to John or Leland, there's 2 bids. You know, one of the bids was for materials and labor, the other one was just for labor, not counting the, so, the problem with the cheapest is you can't ask them to go to work right away because they're booked up for the winter or for the summer. So the earliest they could be out is probably late August on that. But you know, I'm going to continue asking some other people because I know there were some other people that that had some interest in doing that fence. So I'll keep getting bids. You want to pass that around to me?
$2,300
difference,
though.
Yeah. Well, they almost rebuilt the entire fence.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys noticed when you walked in, but Chris Nielsen, lot 127, is an arborist, and he came through with some harnesses, ladders, and really kind of cleaned up a lot of the dead tree branches out of the
It was full of little bunches.
So, you know, it kind of needs a little bare, sunshine in the butt. It kind of makes the trees a little bit more healthy. Or healthier.
And it'll keep us healthier.
There was some mention, and I really apologize. I didn't know it was our responsibility to make sure the waivers went through. I thought it was all done online. But with this printer, we can print out some waivers. It's, I mean, we're kind of the police on it. It's kind of a hassle, but we're doing it. So nobody gets a key unless they sign a waiver. Also, Jody sent us an incident report form. If there's ever an accident on the ranch, you know, it's paperwork is kind of key when it comes to lawyers. You can have that around. But I think if there's an accident or if there's, you know, even just a minor incident, if it's not reported correctly, the ranch could be, you know, held liable. So just a nice, easy form that can be filled out as soon as the accident, you know, is noticed. But we had an incident here last month where a guy took a four-wheeler into a cable, and we thought it was on the ranch, but I don't know. We went and researched and couldn't find anything, but, you know, to have a report form like this when it comes to going to court, I think.
So this other thing was not on the ranch?
I don't think
so.
Supposedly there was blood on the ground that you
There was nothing there. There were not even tracks where his claws were there.
They couldn't find tracks. They couldn't find, and according to the guy,
nothing there.
It was like you could tell.
So that's
he was found on Scooter Paul by his people.
So I think that's a good thing to have on file here at the ranch, if, you know. But as far as reporting goes, equipment hours. On the backhoe, I have about 20 hours on the backhoe with all the little projects.
Is that specified in each day?
Oh, yeah, I have it written down each day.
Paul is also emailing me each day what he's done. I asked for that. Here's a copy that he provided. You might want to look. Put that someplace. Say,
I have a file.
I didn't have him to be specific on times. I just want to know what was going on. But his records and his log over there should be specific.
I think I'm going to take the brush hog off and fix it in a later time. I do have some bolts for the blade. The grader said at the ponds, and I thought we were doing that project this week. Your road. I thought it was to be here this week. I didn't want to bring it down here and then take it back up, so it's sitting up there. But there's three bolts missing out of the left side of the blade. I got it. I have them. Ready to go.
Paul, you want to say something about what you, Dom, and Joe have looked at on 7-9?
There's always been a question about cabin 9 and the stability of the structure. We did find that the center of the cabin is sitting on 12-inch pillars. So the cabin moving, I don't think it's moving one way or another. I think one side might be moving opposite from the other side, but it's, you know, so I think it's safe. You know, we've looked at safety and, we have a couple ideas on building up some corn just to kind of make it more stable.
Green.
sewer. When the cabin moves, I think, to a point where it just separates. So we're going to put an expandable rubber joint on there.
You mean it moves when people walk through it?
Or no.
The joint didn't go in but about a quarter inch. It's a black pipe about 18 feet long. I think it's been knocked, it stands and retracts and separates.
Well, we need to put a longer pipe in there to be sure of that. But when I look at
separate that to that, then we've got a problem.
When I look at it from the front here, I can see the whole porch, the lean porch downhill, and I see some of them, and there it is. It might stay there for another 50 years, but it might also, we need to do something because we get a really hard saturated rain. I'm not afraid that we fall down the hill. I'm afraid it might move enough with my zombies and terrible. Well, I can tear it down. Only a couple of inches on the little pylon, their 8-inch pylon. Anyway, we discussed some ideas of what needs to be done with somebody that knew.
Yeah, that Chris Nielsen, 127, that's kind of what he
used to do foundation work. He made suggestions.
So I think spend a little bit of time on it will help us from having to spend a whole lot of time on it later. Just a side note, with the cabins being booked the next couple weeks, I talked to John about taking the grader through Slide and then up around Crawford and kind of just touch up some areas through the ranch while we have some time while the cabins are booked.
Are you wearing those mattresses yet?
They're kind of, yeah, I mean, it's an incorporation. It's a matter of, I'd like to have them here today, but I like the $3.99 price.
Okay. About come Paul?
No. About the gate. I need to see the gate.
Need what?
I need to get a full the lot and we can't find it. I was told that there's an association lot. But nobody seems to have an entry key.
You know about this lot?
I know about that lot, but I thought everybody had it. I thought everybody had that key. I don't have one.
I have one question about the matches. Did anybody read what Grant Ford from Levitt, Henry Levitt? Bed bug thing. She asked a question about bed bugs.
I'm not going to take any matches that I don't feel are acceptable for the cabins. I'll be honest with you.
Did anybody have a key? Kathy announced it. I'm kind of a bad key. Yes.
I need to have a key.
You hope you go up to Sunny's place?
It's 134. No, not Sunny's, but that, yeah, that lot.
That's on road.
They bought 134, and we can't find a key. The job was out. We didn't have them there one day. Okay, great. Thank you. And you can get one late for us to start up.
Paul, are you done with your report?
Okay.
Well, Paul, I think I'd like to thank you, and I think we all feel that way about keeping track of things, getting right on those cabins, and so keep your record keeping good like you do. I think that's always the proof in the pudding.
There's some question on our slow time of year, hot time. I hope you guys can appreciate how hard Nancy and I worked through the summer. You know, with dealing with all these people and dealing with, a lot of lot owners that don't come out for this time of year. It's a large project.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's a little thing about that we're supposed to discuss. Isn't that in part of this? Let's see. Discuss the rate per hour when hiring ranch manager for doing personal work for members. Is that addressed? Are we talking personal work, meaning this backhoe or?
Backhoe or the grid or?
Okay, so we discussed that. Okay. Joe,
no,
your
no,
financial
no.
report?
Well, yeah, no, I brought up that sentence there. After the meeting we had last time, I think we figured out what we would charge to, help me with my memory here. What do we charge per hour? Well, anyway, if we charge $50 per hour for the backhoe or whatever amount, then I wanted to propose that we charge $50 an hour for the equipment, and then we charge another $25 an hour for Paul's labor that Paul gets to keep, and this stuff would be done on his days off. So I don't remember if it was $50 an hour or $75 an hour or $100 an hour, but with all that heavy equipment that Paul's willing to do, if he does these side jobs on his days off, I think $75 an hour is reasonable to get that kind of work done. I could be way off base. I'm not a construction person. But that's what I wanted to propose, that we add on that extra $25 an hour to pay for Paul's extra time being there. And he could pocket that. Yes.
A day for the backhoe and $25 an hour for the operator. That's it.
That's in that.
Day off.
We are, that was discussed in that proposal. You understand?
Okay, so that was covered then, and that means that Paul gets to keep that $25 an hour, right?
On his day off.
Yeah, okay, all right. I didn't know we covered that.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Okay.
Financial report?
Okay, on to the financials. Linda's finished re-entering our past data into the QuickBooks file. You guys have a copy of the P&L now. And that was, that took a lot of hours to get that. I don't know why when the laptop crashed, we lost some of the data. Even though we had backup files of it, some of it didn't back up correctly, so it took that long to get the information. Now, Lynn and I spent a few hours yesterday going through the P&L after I received it. There's a lot of adjustments that still need to be made and corrections and category changes, so you all be aware of that. Don't get too alarmed if you see something awry. And if you do have questions until we get it all done, which should, you know, that should be taking place now, if you have any questions about the numbers, please don't hesitate to call or email. Email is probably the best, so we can find out what the actual is. Some of these numbers are in the wrong categories right at the moment, and we're changing some of the categories. So just bear with us. We've got at least some numbers for us to go on. And to see where we're at for the half-year mark, I'm not going to give you a total precise report on where we are at half-year right now because, like I said, we've still got to fix some of these numbers and categories. But thank you very much, Linda, for getting that done. I know it was such a hard job. That's just so much work doing that. But so going on to what we can talk about and what we do know so far, first, we know that there's 87% of the assessments have been collected. That's pretty good for the year. We're not done yet. And so between all the bank accounts, we still have around $50,000 in the bank. We've already received the first $6,000 payment from the Hunts. That's not showing in the P&L unless Linda changed that last night. So that has been received. So that adds another $6,000 to our net income so far this year. Any questions on that so far?
No.
Okay, moving on.
Okay.
Go ahead. Paul and Nancy, Linda will be breaking out the cabin maintenance furnishing supplies, so you'll have a better way to tell by category where you're at with spending on each. We do break it down that way in the budget that we prepared, so you should have a copy of that as well. But we're going to change it in the P&L so that we'll show that as well. Now, just to give you numbers for you to know where you're at right now, the budget for the total cabin expense is $12,000. $4,800 of that goes to cabin maintenance, $4,000 goes to furnishings, and $3,200 to supplies. And that was broken out when we did the budget. So now you know where you're at. We're about $100 over in maintenance already, but a significant part of that came from the redo of the walkway at Cabin 3. And I think the redo on Cabin 3 should really be classified as a special project for the year, so it shouldn't come out of the cabin budget, but we'll figure that out and talk about that as we progress more during the year and find out what funds are left from where. We estimate about $2,500 to do that project, but that was not included in our budget. That was, like, on the side. So moving forward, we need to remember that we have more maintenance issues for the rest of the season and understand at the end of the year we might go over in this budget item. So it'll all work out in the wash. The telephone category is higher than we originally budgeted, but we need to put a new antenna to provide better reception because there's been a lot of days that the ranch has not had phone service. So we're kind of past the halfway mark. We're at $1,038 out of the $1,750 projected. That's just what it is. We can't do anything about that unless we get more credits from them. We've already reached our budget in the legal category because of the water issues that were still being worked on, and we have other things that are being worked on at the same time, so we're going to be a little bit over on the legal category this year, but other years we won't, so it'll kind of even out. Internet connection, there was some questions about that. I talked to Vance about it earlier, too. It's a little bit high showing right now, but things have changed. We budgeted for $800 a year. We're already at $630, but again, that's something we need to look at and work on, and we're doing that, and Vance sent us the reason why, so I'm not concerned about it. It's just going to be a charge that's added on to our bill every 3 years, and this year we got it. So next year it'll be back down again. Our printing and postage budget will be over the year due to the extra mailings that we had to do during the control during the water issues. We have at least two more newsletters to come out of that and the yearly elections for the September meeting. So it's going to put us over the budget for that year. We know that now, but we'll have to deal with it. Under the road category, I don't know if Linda changed this last night after I have the budget, but the P&L. But it shows that we've already reached the budget on the road grading. That's because we purchased the Grizzly, and that was posted into that category. We're going to move that category out and put that in equipment, so that'll free up the grading category, so don't get alarmed over that. All right, moving on. We do have some questions. Vance, if you're there, you can help me on this one. I forgot to ask you. The Water Rural Association Fund, we were charged, is it every year that we get the $285 inspection fee? Do you know?
It's a membership. It's a membership. Paul, do you know any more about that? It's just a membership, right?
Well, I have the membership as being $340.
Well, okay. So what did you get from them, and what did it say, and do we need to tie everybody up on this right now?
No, we don't. I just want to know if you knew off the top of your head, and we can find out and investigate it later.
No, as far as I know, the RWAU is a membership to belong to those guys, and in the long run, they save us pretty sizable piles of money by helping us on our water systems.
I think they have in our back pocket for water.
Okay, so
what happened? Did it go up? What's wrong?
Well, hold on a minute. Let me find that part here.
Okay. Just don't worry about it. Email me, call me. We don't need to tie up anybody right now.
Yeah, we'll figure that one out. Okay, and that is all I've got.
Okay. Sounds like we got a little shuffling to do, but we appreciate your optimism. And that's what we'll have to plan on. So, okay, web development communications, Jeff.
I didn't have anything new. We wanted to include in the newsletter any changes, suggested changes to the PCNRs or any of the bylaws.
The question you bring up brings up kind of preparation for an annual meeting, and let's take just a minute. I think Jeff. That's what we have to come to grips with and send that out when we send out our stuff for the annual meeting. Now, does anybody know when we have to have perspective
members running for the board.
The call goes out this month. We need to have them before August so they can vote on them.
So we need to have...
The call will not be.
Well, the month is... the month's... What's the date today?
Today's the 9th.
9th?
All for nomination.
Okay, so we want to consolidate our point. So we really should have a newsletter like ready today, right?
Within weeks, yeah.
Yesterday.
Sounds like everybody has their assignments. We should be able to do that within weeks.
Okay, can we have set a deadline then for
Fish.
Huh?
Friday?
You could have everything planned by Wednesday and have time to put it together.
Okay, Vance, I guess everybody is shaking their heads like they're willing to commit, have their material for the newsletter to you by this Wednesday.
Okay, I'm making a note.
And then... Linda will put in there the part about the elections. So, who's retiring from the board this year? This 2-year term is up.
Those that are staying is everybody's staying at first this year.
Huh?
No, the Jays.
The Jays stay?
The Jays stay.
Jones, Jeff.
John, Joe, and Jeff? Leland? Are your 2 years are up and my 2 years are up, right? Jody?
Yeah.
This Jody has one more here.
They're all Jays
yeah.
today. Everybody else is...
My term's up. This is Robert Musco. My term's up, I think, in August.
Are you going to run again?
I'm thinking about it, but I doubt it.
All right, so in the newsletter, we announced we have to have nominations in by the end of July?
Give them a month. They have to make the, well, yeah.
Huh?
I'll work that out. I don't talk well off the top of my head, that's the thing. But, yeah, it'll be timed so that they have time to get their ballots. When we get the nominations, we'll look at the ballots and the ballots go out then.
Ballots have to go out a month before the annual meeting?
Mm-hmm.
So the meeting is September what? 10th? And so by August 10th. So we have to have nominations in by the end of July.
Yeah. Well,
okay. So you'll add in there about when the annual meeting is and when to expect ballots and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So back to Jeff's question about what was your question, Jeff? PCNRs.
The only one I wanted to propose was to allow electronic communication. Where I'm trying to find it in the PCNRs that say everything has to be done by paper. I just wanted to modify that so you could use what electronic means also.
I think there's a state law that says you can use electronic as long as it's an unanimous vote. But if it's not unanimous...
Jeff, I would counsel you to write it up.
I already did, and I sent it to the board.
Oh,
sorry. 4 months ago.
I think I do remember that.
I think I added a word to the statement of the bylaws. I'm trying to find it again. I'll add it to my newsletter.
Okay. Anybody have feelings about the electronic thing? What? What does that mean?
I want paperwork. I want electronic.
You don't want electronic... Electronic voting or what?
A ballot comes back.
So what are you proposing to?
I agree with you on the voting. That's to be done that way. But on the other issues where we want to communicate to the board or to the membership on, like the question we had about, do they want to have horseback riding? If we had the way where they could do a survey, respond electronically, and we could basically test waters immediately and get back communication electronically, that's what I was proposing, but not the voting.
I'm okay with that. Yeah, I just felt for board members, I wanted.
No, I agree.
Ballot mail.
Well, we don't need to change the PCNRs for that, Jeff. Just for sending out surveys, we don't need to.
The way it was worded, I'm trying to find it. The way it was worded, it doesn't include electronic means. But I wanted to add that to the
statement. But I think that's specifically for voting. I don't think that has to do with communication with the membership, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah, we can look at that.
But did you not have anything you wanted to add to the changes to the PCNRs or the bylaws?
Well, yeah, I've got lists of them, but I don't know if this is the right timing yet.
Okay.
But we'll talk to each other during the month and let's see what lists we've got combined this stuff. The other question I have, too, I know that when we go to the recorder's office to record the changes, and we still have to do that with the bylaws that have been changed, I know that's going to be a little bit costly because we've never registered or recorded our bylaws before. I think, Linda, you found out it's going to be over $300 for us to do that. But now when we change the PCNRs of bylaws, they've already been recorded before, so I don't think it's another $300, but I don't know what the cost is. Anyway, something to find out.
Whatever it is, we'll have to do it.
Okay. We definitely have to get those bylaws done.
And I think there was talk about waiting to do them all together so that we didn't have the extra cost. I think that was what was why we didn't do the first one. Yeah.
We just sent this out to ballots.
Yes, for the ballot, yeah. I was thinking on the issue, sorry, yeah. It's good idea.
Yeah, the next two things we've talked about. Jody, you want to say anything else about legal?
Let me check my notes here real quick.
Sure.
Oh, the only thing I wanted to talk about was legal was don't forget to add number 11 as water resources because it's not on the list today. The agenda got missed. But no, I have nothing else in legal.
Resources? Where does that need to go, Jody?
Water resources can go after Leland. Make it number 11.
Okay. Fire protection, Robert Musco.
Yeah. I don't have anything pressing to talk about. I'll see if I can get something for the newsletter about the what the forestry wants to do. And just to notify everybody, like you said, we've got the stuff on the website, but I would like to write something up about that from our April meeting. The only other thing would be is that we've maintained or checked on the fire truck. That would be the only thing. Make sure it's in operating order.
Okay. Our little fire truck, Brent. How is our little fire truck? Is it in operating order?
Well, we got a minor problem with the pump. Joe's going to look at the pump.
It's fine.
I'm still remodeling. I have a problem starting it. I think it's just a fuel filter and
Okay, Robert, we're checking into that, Joe and Brent on a little part of the pump.
Okay, self-run through it. Obviously, it'll work.
All right. 10-4, thanks. So, do you have anything you want to say about equipment?
Can I ask a question about
Kevin?
Is there a fire restriction in place now?
I haven't got it, but I guarantee you there's one.
They're showing it on the news, but they haven't contacted you about it?
We've got the whole thing from the fire warden about fire, because I have not got it. Oh, yes. Oh, they've got it.
Yeah, they're showing it on the news. So are you telling the members out there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Rose, Brent, security, Scott.
I don't want to talk about the happens, sir.
Well, we already covered it. The back hall. As far as cabin, doing a good job on the gravel. Paul got with me. I thought it was a good idea. A good idea to get gravel down. Now you can park the car by cabin. Well, not nothing up before yet, but it'll be there soon. But once you and three, walk from your car to the cabin without walking too far.
Yeah.
That's not real good. And he's got the gravel coming for four, so as soon as that's delivered, we'll be in good shape.
Came yesterday.
Okay.
And for the record, I did do an oil change on the back for $200.
Okay. We already talked about cabin 9, and so we're pretty much covered.
How's the roof on cabin 4?
So if there's a roof problem, I can contact the day currently to see if it wouldn't take a whole lot.
Larry, Larry put the roof on mine, did a good job, so I'd recommend Larry for cabin 4 if he wants to do it.
Oh, go up and look at it.
Hey, Leland.
There's thistle all back here. It's they come in phases.
We talked about the podunk area, and then John mentioned he's not. Okay, so you have all right. So no new proposals or exercise. Okay. Okay, Jody, the water stuff.
Okay, I have nothing at this time. I just wanted to make sure it was on there so it wasn't missed next meeting as well.
All right. Any other business that we've failed to cover?
Hey, Phil, this is Bob.
Yes, Bob.
I've been up to my lot twice in the last couple of weeks, and somebody on my west road toward the south where the BLM is has cut down two trees on the east side of the road, and I just want everybody aware that people are up there stealing trees. Because I haven't had anybody write to me, call me, or email me, so I don't know what's going on.
What kind of trees? What kind of trees?
Two and taller trees, however tall they were.
What kind of trees?
Juniper.
Juniper.
Yeah.
I saw the one up by Lot 74. I saw
74. That's Rob Brinkerhoff. He's got 12 hives up there. And I didn't plan on bringing any more in that area. And then we did do a drive around with Lonnie and Rob and found a spot for Lonnie, and I think he's got his bees down there. There was one more spot that Rob wanted to put some bees. I needed to be with you first before we get
to the have a suggestion if we go over here that maybe put a little stake up there beside the beware bees.
Yeah.
For anybody that gets off on the other road so they know that they're in the
area. And Rob does that, right? Rob has to get put it up there.
Okay. And that's a lot of the way that's pretty far out.
Don't want something. And if you didn't know about where Lonnie's bees are, you wouldn't. You didn't know where they were, you'd never see them.
I drove over there real close to them. It was. I saw them over the hive, but they weren't following the creek at all.
So it is okay if I talk to Leland about this spot. He does have to go ahead. He does have to say so to give Rob to go ahead and put some more bees up. Or does that have to be presented?
What side of the meadow?
So it's right close to the corral.
On the west side or the east side?
So right before you get to the corrals, on the left side, the back about 200 yards in the trees on the other side of the fence. Far enough away from the cabin, far enough away from the pond.
How many feet from the road?
Yeah.
How many feet from the road?
About 500 feet off the road.
So on the east side of the meadow?
So it would be on the east side of the meadow.
Okay.
And if you drove by, you'd never see it.
Give us a proposal if you put 20 hives up, so I'd work out another 7 hives. You cut how many out? 12.
Anybody have anything against that? Please sign it.
I think well, there's plenty of food and plenty of water. They're not going to be...
Okay, Brad Hunt said that they have an excess of food over there. Oh, you brought some food over here?
Sandwiches right here.
So I'll make a motion that we've covered our business for the month and that we adjourn.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.